We're really humbled to be on the prayer line tonight. Thank you for that prayer, Pastor Jane. Everybody on the prayer line knows that Pastor Jane has a distinctive voice and a distinctive way of praying. And there were times while we were in Kenya, in my mind, I could hear Pastor Jane praying for us. And I knew that she was praying and interceding for us. We took a lot of comfort in that. I wanted tonight to come on the prayer line and tell you about our recent trip to Kenya and some of the many miracles and signs and wonders that God did. And I really want to do it for two or three reasons. One is because you partnered with us for this trip. You were the intercessors. You were the prayer warriors that made this trip possible. And I think it's really important for you to know what happened because of your labor of prayers. Just like we like to hear testimonies back from what happened, we want to know what happened. We want people to tell us. If you were healed, let us know. And we've gotten lots of testimonies and lots of stories from people. Even after we left, we're still getting stories. And those encourage us. Well, I want to share some of those stories with you to encourage you, to let you know that your prayers really were being answered. I want to also share tonight just because I want to encourage your faith. I want you to hear about some of the things that God did. And God worked in such miraculous ways, and it was so easy. We were just there watching God work. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't a strain. I mean, we were really busy. When we got home, we were really tired. But it wasn't an effort. It wasn't a struggle. We were just participating with God. And again, I think that was because of all the prayer cover that we got. But the third reason that I want to share this with you tonight is because as Debbie and I watched God move, we saw so many healings, so many people's lives changed, so many folks who were thinking about doing dire things and were in very difficult situations. And you'd see them 2 or 3 days later, and they were just like a different person. Their countenance was light, and they were happy and praising God and doing things. And as we watched these miracles, it wasn't like God was showing off. It wasn't like God was trying to prove himself to anybody. It was like God so much loved every single person that we got around. It was like he could just hardly wait to do something good for them. He could hardly wait to speak into their lives, to take the darkness that they were in and turn it into light, to take the dire situation they were in and turn it into a breakthrough, to take the sickness or the depression or whatever they were going through and to heal them, to touch them and heal them. And you could just tell the Lord was doing this because of his love. It was such a privilege. So we were in Kenya for about a week and a half. Grace went before us and stayed afterwards. She was our guide. She was very much a selfless leader, just like the Lord was not in it to show off or to be important, but to love people. That's the way it was with Grace. She arranged venues for us. She arranged speaking engagements and ministry opportunities. And she coordinated all that, kept our schedule. Somebody would ask me, well, what are you supposed to do this afternoon? And I'd look over at Grace and say, I don't know. She knows. Ask her. She'll tell you. She'll keep us straight. And she did. And we appreciate that. Well, Grace, we couldn't have done this without you and without your selfless love and without your ministry. I mean, you know, you minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit right along beside us, and you were part of the prayer team. And because of you and because of the prayers, God did lots of things. And I want to tell some stories about that. We originally went as part of a ministry team with some of the bishops from our church, the Charismatic Episcopal Church. And they were doing official visits in various dioceses there in Africa, not only in Kenya, but in Tanzania and Uganda and Rwanda. We stayed with them for a couple of days, and then we let them go on about their church business, and we escaped with Grace and went to Kiambu. And we spent the rest of the time there in Kiambu ministering in that area. And matter of fact, we went from a service with the bishops in Kibera there in Nairobi right to a service in Tananga, the church that Mission Prayer Network has helped start in Tananga. And boy, that place was packed. There were lots of folks. We got there a little late. They had been worshiping the Lord. They really had the place prepared spiritually. and it was so easy to preach and to minister there. As a matter of fact, there were just no significant hindrances at all during this trip. And I think that's an indication of the effectiveness of all the intercessory prayer that had gone on to cover this mission. While we were there at Tananga, this very first service, I taught on the five kinds of healing. That's spiritual healing, which usually involves forgiveness of some kind. Either you need to be forgiven or you need to forgive someone. Physical healing, inner healing, healing of memories, and deliverance healing. And, you know, I kind of expected that afterwards, when we invited folks to come up to pray, that we would see a lot of folks that needed physical healing, maybe some that wanted deliverance healing, and that was about it. But you know what? Most of the people that came up wanted inner healing. They wanted healing of memories. They wanted spiritual healing of some kind. And it was just really cool to watch the Holy Spirit work. In other words, their eyes had been opened into areas of their lives where they were being tormented by the enemy or tormented by sickness, and they didn't even know what was going on. And so after that teaching, they were able to understand, oh, this is a place where God can heal me. Good, let's go get some healing. And so we had about five teams of people that were praying for folks in the church. We prayed for folks for about 2.5 hours. We just saw so many physical healings and inner healings and healings from depression. Let me give you a little example of how the Holy Spirit worked. A young girl came up to us. She said she needed prayer. She was about 17. She gave a typical prayer request for a 17-year-old girl in Kenya. And that is, I need help with my studies. I need help passing my exams in school. And so I want you to pray for me. And so we prayed for her for, I don't know, probably 10 seconds. And the Lord said, there's something else going on. There's something that has happened. And she's just going over and over and over this in her mind. And it's keeping her from being able to study. And so I told her what I heard the Lord say, and I asked her about that. And she said, well, her father recently died of cancer, and her mother is home sick. And I thought, oh, man, for sure that's going to make it difficult to study. And so the Lord began to lead and guide us in prayer and revealed that she was angry at God for taking her father, because they'd been praying for her father and he hadn't been healed, and she didn't understand that, and she was angry with the Lord. And so we led her through a prayer where she was able to forgive the Lord, forgive herself for not having enough faith to believe for his healing. And then we also anointed her hands and told her, now you go home and you pray for your mother so that she can be healed too. And there was just so much hope in that girl's face. And I asked her, I said, so tell me the truth now. Before we prayed for you, was your mind just kind of racing and going over and over and over the same thing? She said, yes, I could hardly think of how to brush my teeth in the morning because it was just constant thoughts. I said, how is it now? She said, it's very quiet. I don't even know how to think because it's so quiet in my mind. Lord had delivered her. That was just an example of some of the kinds of things that the Lord was able to do. We saw a lot of people healed. I bet you there were 100 people healed of some kind of physical ailment there. I don't know about the other teams, but for me, I laid hands on almost none of the people that I prayed for. I probably prayed for 20, maybe 30, and only one or two didn't receive healing. But those people that I prayed for, I didn't lay hands on them. This is what I did. I would sort of draft into service someone else that was waiting in line to pray. It's like, for instance, a woman came up and she said, I'm having pain in my stomach area. And I asked, well, is it your stomach or is it down in the female area? Well, it's down in the female area. And so I got another lady that was in line, asked her to come up. And I said, I want you to help us pray for her. Will you do that? She said, yes. So I asked her to hold her hands out, and I anointed her hands with oil, prayed a prayer of activation over her, and reminded her of that scripture in Mark 16 where Jesus says he expects all believers to lay hands on the sick and to see him recover. And so I just activate that anointing in you, sister, so that you can do it. And so then I would tell her, lay hands on this woman's stomach in the right, because, you know, we men, I'm not going to lay hands on that woman's stomach anyway, okay? But I wanted her to see God move through her. And so you lay your hands on this lady and we'll all agree with you and see what God does. And so we prayed for her. and asked if she felt anything. She said, well, it feels warm down there. Well, can you tell any difference? She said, well, no, it's mostly only when I sit down that I feel the pain. Okay, well, sit down here and tell us if you have pain. And she sat down, and she wasn't down 10 seconds. She jumps up and says, I'm completely healed. The pain is completely gone. And when she did that, I looked over at the woman that had prayed for her, and I took her hand, and I pointed to her hand, put my finger in her hand, and I said, see this hand? This hand is what God used to heal that woman. Now go lay that hand on other people and let God use you to heal people. And we did that over and over and over again the whole time we were there, getting people to pray for each other. And what was really funny was sometimes I'd ask them, so have you ever prayed for anybody that was sick before and they got well? No. And their eyes would be real big, a big smile on their face. So you'd probably like to do this some more, huh? Boy, they'd shake their head. Oh, yeah, 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 I want to do this some more. So we left an army of people that were praying for others and praying for the sick. One of the things, though, that we saw, we had services and ministered in the area, Ruthrini, I think it is, around Kitigiti, and in Tananga, and in Dumberi, and Dedero, and then in Kiambu. And everywhere we went, every time we got a chance to minister to folks, to pray for them, about 30% or maybe 40% of the people we prayed for told us that they were suffering from rejection. I mean, it was serious rejection. Like, for instance, a young woman, her husband got sick and died, and she was not only rejected by her husband's family, but her family turned their back on her. They wouldn't take her phone calls. They wouldn't let her come visit. They wouldn't visit her. Nobody in the family would have anything to do with her. There was a man that had been cheated in an investment. His whole family turned against him. Another man that said, all of my family and friends have turned against me, and I can't even get them to return my phone calls. They won't return my texts. If I go to their house, they won't open the door. I mean, this is serious rejection. And we saw this over and over and over again everywhere we went. The Lord began to help us understand that there's a plague going on there, at least in the Kiambu area, and I think it's probably throughout Kenya. The plague has two sides to it. On the one side, you have the people that are rejected, and they then begin to hold grudges and unforgiveness against those who have rejected them. Of course, when they start doing that, when they start holding unforgiveness against others, what they do is they block God from being able to bless them. And so it wasn't uncommon that after they were rejected and started holding a grudge against their relatives or friends, whoever it was, that they would maybe lose their job, or they would get sick, or their car would break down, or get kicked out of school. All kinds of things, bad things would start happening to them because they were holding on to this unforgiveness that was blocking God's blessings. Well, the other side to that coin is those people who are rejecting. They're in two or three places I was able to share several scriptures with them about how God does not take into account our sins and our wrongs. You know, the word says that love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered, and God is love. In John 3:17, the verse after John 3:16, it says that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world. In 2 Corinthians, it says that Jesus, he gave us this ministry of reconciliation, and we're ambassadors to Christ, that's scripture. And it says that Jesus was in the world not counting men's sins against them. And so we taught a lot about this concept that, look, it's not God that keeps up with our sin. It's not God that condemns us over our sin. It's the devil that does that. That's his job, the accuser of the brothers. And so when we start taking on this role of we're going to judge others, we're going to hold their sins against them, we're going to reject them, and we won't have anything to do with them because of something they did wrong, we're going to hold on to that. And other members of the family then are going to take up that offense. You know, one person in the family was offended, so everybody in the family gets offended. Listen, That is not the nature of God under any circumstances. When they're doing that, they are siding with the devil. And of course, when they side with the devil and come against the nature of God, then they can't be blessed either. So you have these kind of two camps of folks. Matter of fact, we talked about this at one of the churches there in Kiambu. We were there for an evening service, and I taught on this and told them how we had noticed this plague going on, and that I felt like that this particular church, Word of Faith, that they were supposed to be part of the spearhead to break this bondage, to break this plague off of Kenya. And after I taught about that and told them about that, for the altar call, the pastor, Bishop Thomas, got up and he said, okay, what he said is right. We need to deal with this. And he said, I want two groups of people. If you have been rejected and you need to forgive those who rejected you, I want you to go over here to the left and I want you to pray there. If you have been rejecting people, you've been holding grudges and holding offenses against others, I want you to go on the right side of the church and you pray and you seek God and get forgiveness for that. And I'm telling you, half the church was on the left side of that church and the other half was on the right side and nobody was in their seats. They were all kneeling and praying because they realized this is true. There's a plague. It's a serious thing and it's blocking God from being able to bless. Well, in that church, Debbie gave them a word that the Lord had given her for Kenya. It was a word about Kenya being it's one of the lights where revival is going to start and then spread to the rest of the world. But Kenya is going to be first. As a matter of fact, the light is like a multicolored light and starts off yellow and eventually becomes purple. And it's about Kenya being the revival light of the world. So the Lord gives this word that Kenya is going to be one of the lights of the world for revival. Kenya is going to be one of the places in the world that it starts and spreads to the rest of the world. After Debbie gave that word, I realized, oh, that's why the devil is fighting so much with this plague of rejection and unforgiveness. It's because he's trying his best to stop Kenya from being the light of revival for the world. He's been found out. His tricks have been found out, and the intercessors there in Kenya are starting to pray for this and starting to do spiritual warfare. And I believe that this specter, whatever you would call it, is going to be torn down, broken down, and Kenya is going to be free then to have real revival. Let me tell you a few more stories of good things that God did. And understand that if you were interceding and praying for us, you were the ones doing the work. Debbie and Grace and I were the ones that got to go have the fun and watch the results of the prayer and watch God move. It's not because we're special. We're just vessels of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was moving through us because somebody was praying. We got a chance to minister at you'd call it a home group meeting. It was a group of intercessors and leaders from one of the churches there in Kiambu. They came over to a house and we ministered to them there and began to pray over them. And as we did, as is very common, when we minister, the Lord began to give individual words to people. I don't know why, but they're astonished that God would know all about them and what's going on in their lives. But he does. With several folks, the Lord told them about how they were going to be better intercessors. They were going to see visions more. And then the Lord just kind of gave a word for the whole group, that they would seek the Lord, that he was going to bring them into a whole new level of intercessory prayer, and they were going to know how to pray. They were going to see visions and get words of how to pray like they never had before. They were going to see results and answers like they never had before, and the Lord was just going to take them to this new level. And we got word back a few days ago from one of the ladies that's part of this intercessory prayer group. She said, that's exactly what's happening. It's just like they've been promoted into a new atmosphere. Praying is easier. The praying is more effective. They know how to pray. They're more consistent in their prayers, and they're seeing God answer prayers. And I thought, wow, that's exciting to be able to, because of the intercessors that we have behind us, we're able to go and minister to other intercessors. Matter of fact, Grace's mother, we got a chance to go minister there. And the Lord gave her a word too. Essentially, the Lord described where she prays and how she prays when she's all by herself. The Lord said, I see you when you're doing that. And I see the intercessory prayer, and this is how you're praying. In other words, the Lord was proving to her, I'm there when you're praying. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless you in your intercessory prayer. You're going to do more than ever been able to do before in intercessory prayer. And I'm just going to take you into this new level of intimacy with me. And based on what you said last night, Grace, it sounds like that's exactly what the Lord did with your mom. It's nice when God moves and moves in such a personal way that he really changes people's lives. Let me tell you another story. We went to a church in Didero. The Lord led me to teach on how to move in what I call the prophetic gifts. Those would be like word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, visions, dreams, those kinds of things. So I taught on those gifts and how to move in those gifts. And everybody was very attentive. And then I said, okay, now we're going to give you a chance to try this out and to practice. And so I want everybody to find somebody else in the church that you don't know or that you don't know very well. Because what I want you to do is I want you to pray over each other. And each of you gives a word to the other. Two people get together and pray together a little bit. And then one of you gives a word from the Lord to one. And then after that, the other person gives a word to the other one. I knew this is what the Lord wanted to do. And so right before we get to that place, the devil is there telling me, you know what? That is just the most stupid thing I've ever heard of. These people aren't going to do that. They're not going to pair up this way. And when they do, even those that do pair up, none of them are going to have any words for each other. And it's just going to be a real embarrassment. Don't even bother. Just teach them, and that'll be good enough, and then you can close and go on. You know, devil, we're not going to let you have this. So they started pairing up everybody. They were eager to do it. Everybody paired up with somebody. They immediately start praying for each other. What we did, Grace went around to some of those folks. Debbie went around to some, and me and the local pastor, we went around to some. What we were doing was we were checking in on these folks to make sure they were following the directions and see how God was doing. And every single pair, 100%, of the people, the pairs that we went to, each one of them, both of them had a word for each other. And the words were right on. Even little things, like there was a young girl, she was probably about 14, and she was praying with a man that was probably about 50. So we asked her, well, do you have a word for him? Yes, the word that I had for him was about expanding his tents and expanding his responsibility. And so I said to the man, I said, okay, does that mean anything to you? Oh, yes, I'm praying for a promotion at work, and this is confirmation that God's going to give it to me. I mean, simple stuff like that. But others, one had a word that a person is carrying deep grief, and the Lord wants to heal her from that grief. And I asked the lady, I said, okay, does that speak to you? Oh, yes, my son just died, and I can't get over it, and I don't know what to do. And so it's good. And so we prayed over her, you know, that the Lord wanted to heal her. And it was that kind of thing over and over and over again. I bet you there were, what, 60 pairs of people, maybe 70 pairs of people, and every single one of them was ministering in the prophetic to each other. And afterwards, after we finished praying, I asked folks, well, did you enjoy that? And everybody started laughing and eyes got big and big smiles on their faces. And I said, now, how many of you, this is the first time you've ever ministered prophetically to somebody else? And most of the hands went up. And so I said, see, you can be used by the Holy Spirit like this. And so go out and do that some more. Don't quit. Now, what was funny was, now remember, we're in Kiambu. These are mostly Kikuyus there. And I was surprised at the number of men, not just in this service, but in other services, and even in home groups where we ministered. I was surprised at the number of men that were crying. I mean, these are Kenyan men with big tears coming down their cheeks. God was really moving and really touching them. Gosh, we could go on all night telling stories. The day that we were supposed to leave, we were going to leave on an airplane that leaves at 11 o'clock at night. That day, the couple that hosted us for the house where we stayed in Ruthreni, they invited their family to come and have a prayer time and where we could pray over them. About 50 folks showed up. They started arriving around 1 in the afternoon, and we prayed for them, ministered until about 6 until it came time to leave for the airport. But what was funny was that morning, folks started arriving at the house about, 8 or 9 o'clock, and every hour there was somebody else. These weren't family members. These were just people that had heard we were in town, or somebody said, hey, you need prayer, go over to this house, somebody will pray for you. And even in those circumstances, just miracle after miracle after miracle, when we did pray for the families, this is how the Lord led, we would get immediate families, like father, mother, and daughter, for instance, and say, okay, y'all get in the middle of the living room there, sit down, and we're all going to gather around you and pray for you. The first family that we did that with, they sit down, and we said, what do you need the Lord to do? And ask the man. He said, well, my knee has been hurting and my back has been hurting, and I really can't work because of that. So what we did was we got his daughter and wife to lay their hands. One lay hands on his back and the other lay hands on his knee and pray for him. And then the rest of us stood around, prayed with him, agreed with him. And it was really cool. The Lord gave this guy a word. And later he asked our host, how did he know those things? How could he know that about my business and what was going on in my business? And I didn't know. It was the Holy Spirit that knew it. But anyway, this guy's knee got healed. His back got healed. And you could see the tears coming down. I mean, he was really, truly healed. And then he was praying for his wife and she got healed, and prayed for the daughter and she got healed. And then we went to the next family and the next family and the next family and the next family. And did that for hours. It was just incredible to watch God move and touch people's lives, even in a setting like that, or just in a home. Well, when we got there, we realized it had been 10 years since we had been to Kiambu last. We thought maybe it had been 4 or 5 years, but we got to looking at our passports and realized, man, it had been 10 long years, and we don't want to wait another 10. We want to be able to go back soon. So pray with us that the Lord will open a door that we'll be able to go next year. There'll be a lot of ministry opportunities. There's several folks, even the St. James Church there in Kiambu wants us to have some services and teach about healing and pray for folks and stuff like that. There are lots of opportunities. As much as God did, boy, we're ready to go back and see what the Lord will do. Oh, man, we had a lot of fun. Yeah, there were some days, we'd eat breakfast at the house we were staying at, and then we would go somewhere and eat, and then we'd go somewhere else and eat. And I mean, sometimes we must have had 7 full meals in a day. And it was all good. The food was good.